This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Lickety-split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat. Lickety-split.
Lickety-split Weeder.
Dan Weeder.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Weeder said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat report. An enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Got a better chance of getting a pony for Christmas next year.
One of these years, by the way, I'm going to get you a pony for Christmas just so that you can up that probability.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Really did a good job following the board, kind of letting it talk to us.
I mean, sometimes the board says things to you that you weren't expecting it to say. You know, it's kind of like a wife. And so, like, you got to listen to what it says and then follow its orders.
Dan Weederer.
Go ahead, Dan.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love when we get an opportunity to talk with Dan Weederer. You should check him out in the Tribune. He's doing a great job covering the Bears there. He also does the Take the North podcast. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today, CircaLasVegas.com. Sarah Spain is in for Matt Spiegel. Cassie Carlson is going to actually join us in the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll talk with her a little bit about the Bears as well. Weedsy, thanks for joining us. Before I get to, like, the Caleb stuff real quick, would you just share, like, an update on what you're hearing about Arlington Heights, and now apparently other suburbs continue to try and jump into this when it seems like all of this is over with?
Well, look, I mean, there is a lot that still needs to be done to figure out the financial logistics to all this, to figure out the infrastructure logistics to all this, to figure out the government involvement in all this. And so I think this thing is going to remain fluid for a while. I think Kevin Warren's grand aspirations of having a shovel in the ground this year are going to take some urgency. And there's going to need to be some things that happen here in the coming weeks and months to make something like that happen. But I would just buckle in because it doesn't feel like there's a ton of week-to-week clarity on the direction of things. I would still put my money on everything landing in Arlington Heights eventually, but a lot of obstacles to get around before we get there.
Including OTAs, which you've been at. I'm curious what the biggest difference is for you just watching this year versus last year, the difference between Ben Johnson OTAs and what we saw with Flus.
Yeah, I don't love comparing, Sarah, but I will say that the thing that is readily apparent about Ben Johnson through all the interactions and times we've been able to watch him on the field at this point is that he is no joke when it comes to demanding that the details be handled. And if they're not, he's going to call it out quickly, emphatically, and sometimes intensely. There was a moment in yesterday's practice where the first unit offense came out of the huddle a little sloppily. They weren't exactly going through the pre-snap procedure the way they needed to. And he raised his voice, used some choice words and said, get back in that huddle and figure that out again, because we're not going to do that. And I do like that little edge that I think the young quarterback in particular needs, and the whole group as a whole needs to understand what it takes to play consistently high level competitive football in the NFL. And so every little thing matters, and he's not going to let it go, even though it's just a Wednesday, May OTA practice.
I wonder if that's part of what is necessary here. And we talk a lot about culture. And as Bears fans, I think we're trying to understand how you could be consistently bad across multiple different front offices, GMs, coaches, quarterbacks, while other teams somehow have this string of success, even as the decades move on. Like, what is happening there? And I remember having Sam Acho on my old show, like, years and years ago when he left the Cardinals to come to the Bears. And I asked, what's the biggest difference? Like, when you come to the Bears, can you feel the stink? Like, what's happening? And he said he felt like the players accepted losing, that there was just a vibe that they were used to it, and it didn't feel that necessary, that urgent to change it. Is it possible to, with the change of coach or change of regime, actually impact a space that has been this stuck in the mud for this long in a meaningful way? Is it even possible? It doesn't feel like it after all these years.
I mean, man, I hope so, right? Like, I'm going on, I think this will be season 13 for me. I have yet to cover a playoff victory. I mean, that's sad in a league that has a revolving door of playoff teams and wants to create the parity. I do think you speak to something there that is about standards. It's about what you're willing to accept, what you're willing to push for. The Bears have to figure out what that is. Urgency is part of that. Bringing in the right people is part of that. And then just elevating what you accept on a day-to-day, hour-by-hour basis is a big part of this equation. I've said it for a decade now. Like, this is a cutthroat, you know, multi-billion dollar industry. You have to understand what waters you're swimming in, right? Like, and if you're going to swim in those waters and you're going to be successful swimming in those waters, you need to know what it takes. And I think Ben and, you know, with the help of Ryan, with the help of Kevin, with the help of some of these assistant coaches and the players they're bringing in are going to try their hardest to get this back to a place where you guys remember the, you know, the run in 2005 and 06. There was an impact from Lovie. There was a core group of leaders that didn't accept failure or mediocrity, and they pushed and they got themselves going in the right direction.
We're not going to settle for 10 wins. We want 5.
Right? Like, and so here we go. So, like, you got to get it changed. I do think that Ben has the edge to not settle, and he's going to have to keep that edge pretty sharp for a while to get this thing off the ground.
Dan, I found myself in over the last couple of weeks, whether it's Seth's piece or Albert Breer, I found myself going back over last season and with new eyes and being like, oh, that moment meant something. And there was one in particular that at the time I had the similar feelings, and now there's some confirmation bias to it. And that moment for me was when Caleb brought up Lincoln Riley. And I remember saying to Speaks, it's like he's crying out for help and he's trying to figure out anyone who can help him from a football standpoint. Was there any moment that now with context that with that notebook that's full of yours, of all of these moments, that now you go back and you go, oh yeah, now this makes sense of when it happened last year?
I burned that notebook on January 10th. I couldn't look at it anymore. There was too much in there.
He ran out of pages. There was a page for each sack, and he ran out.
It was tough. I will say this on a present day way to answer that question. We heard from Case Keenum yesterday in the media room, and it was a voice of a guy who wasn't here last year, right? Veteran guy in the quarterback's room that can be a resource for Caleb. And Grody and I played a cut on the podcast that we recorded today, where Case kind of details all of the things that you have to be responsible for as a forward-facing franchise quarterback in a market like this. And it's everything. It's like understanding what your footwork needs to look like, what your pre-snap procedure needs to look like, what your body language needs to look like, what the recognition of defense needs to look like, what leadership needs to look like. And this checklist, it's like 35 boxes long. And I think there's this recurring drumbeat of getting Caleb to understand just how long that checklist is and how you can't take a day off from checking all those boxes. And so that's the process that's underway here. I am still fascinated to see how quickly, if at all, it clicks between Caleb and Ben, and whether Ben's methods of trying to get results will be methods that Caleb responds to, and how each of them will have to kind of compromise and evolve to make that relationship work. I mean, we're in a really real infant stages of those two guys forming a bond, and it's going to be interesting in the months ahead to see how that goes when the first loss occurs, when the first terrible week of training camp occurs, when you have a stretch where you get beat 3 out of 4. Like, there's a lot that's gonna escalate and intensify, and they're gonna have to figure out a way to be harmonious in that relationship, otherwise we're all doomed.
We're talking to Dan Wiederer. I was listening to The Score yesterday, and I have to say I disagreed with Mully. He said it was unlikable when the Bears complained last year, and I get it. You don't always want guys going public with what's wrong. But to Lawrence's point, some of those were very clearly cries for help that they didn't get that help till much too late. And I don't think we addressed enough last year just how disruptive it is to have multiple head coaches, multiple coordinators get sacked every other play. We talk a lot about quarterbacks seeing ghosts, but what about hearing ghosts? Is this team going to be able to start the season not carrying the weight of last year's criticisms, not carrying the weight of if you don't look different right away, we're going to be certain that we're doomed for another failure of a season? How do you, as players, refresh that part of yourself and come back in with hope and enthusiasm? Because that's tough for a quarterback, but it's tough for a whole team that last year everybody was hyping at the start of the season because of the weapons, and pretty soon we realized wasn't going to do what we hoped.
part of this is you need to lean on the people that weren't here because they don't carry that baggage with them into the season. And so there's a fresh start with this coaching staff. There's a fresh start with some of the veterans and the newcomers that they've brought in to this roster. And you, so you use that as a natural reset. And then the guys that were here have to be able to understand some of the warning signs that, that popped up last year that they weren't quick enough to address. And they've got to address them more quickly. We went into the season last year with 8 captains. Not a lot of them had experience in that role. Like DJ Moore had never been a captain before. And when he was named a captain, seemed a little bit, you know, unsure of what that meant. Caleb's a rookie quarterback trying to figure a lot of things out. Suddenly he's a captain. You know, you've got guys on defense. Kevin Byard is a good captain who's been around the league for a long time. But you're trying to figure out who your voices are, who your tone setters are, who your leaders are, and the guys that, that you're going to lean on when things get a little bit turbulent. They've got to figure that out as well. As much as anything, and we can talk about 365 subplots that are all relevant to the Bears, but the plot that means everything is whether Caleb can become what the Bears thought Caleb could become when they drafted him 1-1. And that starts with what Ben Johnson's vision for him is and how he can connect with him. And so every single week, we're going to have to revisit that. And where are we in the evolution of that? And where is it? What's the progress report look like? And how healthy is it this week? And so that's going to be an ongoing process because if everything else goes according to plan, but Caleb doesn't get himself launched properly, then we're right back in the same cycle that we've been in for 40 years.
So we don't get to talk to Dan like every week here on Spiegel and Holmes, but every time I talk to him over the last couple of months, if I see him in the hallway or if he was in the performance studio doing the podcast, I've asked this question and I still have to ask this question. Where's Braxton Jones?
Yeah, I mean, he's recovering from a very significant season-ending ankle injury that required surgery. And the Bears were pretty forward early on and saying, like, this is going to keep him out for a while. He won't be back on the field until there's an opportunity to get into training camp. And that's going to be the earliest time that we see him back out there. And so you guys understand the stakes of that. Now you have to be creating contingency plans, which they did via the draft. You have to figure out what it looks like as you're setting your offensive line. And for right now, they're trying to figure out who's going to play left tackle in week one. Maybe Braxton Jones gets himself healthy. Maybe he comes back and reclaims that job. But right now, you're seeing a little bit of a mix between Ozzie Trapillo, who I think is the preferred starter there, and Karan Amagaji. And then if ultimately they've got to troubleshoot and send Darnell right over there to take some reps and see what that looks like, they'll do that as well. But that's the one spot in your line that you don't feel great about here in the end of May. And they're going to have to get that figured out as they wait to see what Braxton's recovery looks like.
I always worry when it in football offices, when it's my guy, your guy type thing, how can Karan Amagaji compete considering that clearly he's Ryan Poles' guy, but not necessarily Ben Johnson's?
Well, he can compete by putting forth a really, really strong training camp, which he didn't have a year ago, right? Like he missed the entire preseason as he was coming back from his own college injury. And so he didn't play at all during the preseason, did not take a single rep during training camp. When we get into August and the pads come on and the offensive linemen are asked to show this coaching staff what they're made of, Karan Amagaji's got to put his best foot forward. One-on-ones, team drills, all the things that go with that. He can compete and that door is open. I will say that they used a second-round pick on an offensive tackle for a reason because they feel like Ozzie Trapillo could help them fill a need, and they're going to give him every opportunity to fill that need as soon as he's ready to do so. And so that competition will escalate when we get into August, and every day along the road to there, Karan Amagaji's got to be preparing to be ready for when those moments come.
I know it's very early and it's hard to tell during OTAs or even training camp what's going to happen when the actual games start, but how do you feel about the trenches on both sides? That is the hardest part of the game for me to look at, especially when you're bringing players from a different system and a different team and you're putting them all together. How enthusiastic are you about this being a different look, both for Caleb in terms of coverage and sacks and also the defensive line and putting pressure on other teams?
You feel so much better about the starting interior offensive line, and that's a great place to be. Now, we've all seen how much depth on the offensive line is consistently tested here in Chicago, and they're going to have to continue figuring out what that depth looks like when we get into the regular season. They're going to have to figure out who starts at left tackle and how ready they are to start at left tackle when the season begins. The defensive side of the ball is a little bit of a different animal, and I can't wait to get into training camp and start watching some of the competitive practices where Dennis Allen is able to put his fingerprints and his stamp on how they want to play defense. Cause I want to see what, Montez Sweat in his second full year as a Bear looks like. They paid him a lot of money to be an every quarter difference maker. He's got to be an every quarter difference maker. I want to see Jervon Dexter take the next step forward. I want to see that Grady Jarrett still got a ton of gas left in the tank, because his passion and his leadership and his juice should resonate as long as he's still a really good football player. And then you want to see if Odangbo is the guy that can complement Sweat on the other side, if Austin Booker can take a step forward. I've got a lot more questions than answers right now on the defensive line, but I do think that they've got some things in place that I'm curious to look at once we start getting into those more meaningful parts of training camp.
So Craig Counsell's on the show every couple of weeks, and his son is playing in the Super Regionals for the University of Kansas, even though it's KU. Anyway, and he's a baseball dad, and he told us yesterday that he's thinking about, if they advance, that Monday is an off day and he'll go watch his son play. You're out here coaching 12U ball, Dan Weider? Is that what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Coach Dan is reeling today. We had a rough loss at Lake Villa last night, a walk-off loss with Coach Dan's son on the bump to end it.
And, oh, no.
Those are the types of ones that the car rides are a little heavier on the way home. We've got a great group of kids. Right now, the production and effort that they're putting forward isn't being matched by the end of game results. And it stings a little bit. I'm going to give a shout out here to our two coaches. Our head coach is named Griff Delaney. He's in school at Loyola. My current joke is that he and my son in 20 years are going to be running the Padres, because they're just so smart about baseball at a young age and have such great emotional intelligence. And then our other assistant, Chris Konasek Lawrence, is like a day one big-time loyalist of the score. And so he's probably listening now. He's always listening, and he's always joking that I need to talk less Bears and I need to talk more 12U Glenview Patriots. And so here we are,
Coach P1,
talking about that rough walk-off loss last night in Lake Villa.
So look, I'm always fascinated by when we get parents who coach their kids. And I had the absolute joy of seeing my buddy Jay Zawoski, his lovely wife Hope. They have been coaching their daughter in softball for forever, and now she's in high school, so they had to hand her off to the coaches there. But watching games with them was stressful for me as they're watching their daughter play.
Don't come see me then.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Of where does dad and coach, where do they mesh, and where do they fall apart?
That's a hard one. I live and die on every pitch, and I will admit, you know, people have called me intense, but it's intense in a way where it's just I really care about the group that we coach and getting them to see the results. And so I'm just into it on every pitch, and it's probably a little much. If you want to have my wife on one day, you could probably unpack that to a level that everyone wants to get to. So the Shires, right? Like John Shire's parents told me years ago that on the way home from games, when John was in youth sports, they made a deal that they would never talk about the game during the car ride home. It would just be a nice conversation. If anything came up about the game, it was like, hey, what was your favorite play? And it was all positive, and you do that. I said, man, that's great. I'm going to apply that. I've tried to apply that for like 5 years. I can't do it. I get in the car and I'm like, I'm not going to talk about this game. I'm not going to talk about this game. And I'm like, why'd you miss the cutoff throw? You had the guy. You got to know where the cutoff is. And I can't control myself. And so, God bless my son, who's a sponge. He's a very patient, resilient kid for putting up with me. But it is a journey, Lawrence. And when you're as passionate about it as I am, sometimes it goes a little bit to the emotional drain part of things, particularly when you lose 6-5 in extra innings. Can I give you a baseball scenario from last night that I kicked myself for not thinking of in real time?
Sure.
All right. So it's the bottom of the seventh inning. The winning run is on third. It's a tie game. The winning run has just gotten to third in a scenario that he should have never gotten to third, but he's there. The 8 hitter out of 12 is coming up to the batter's box. What are you doing if you're a manager there?
How many outs?
There's one out.
Okay. And what am I going to do? I'm asking him to take a couple or take one. No, probably.
We're in the field. We're in the field.
Oh, you're in the field. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pinching the defense because we're trying to cut off the winning run from scoring.
Right. Or do you want to walk him and set up a double play?
So this is Sarah. This is where my brain got to it. Like 12:15 last night when I was tossing and turning in bed, I was thinking, man, like we could have intentionally walked the next two guys, loaded the bases to put a force everywhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you're also bringing up the 10 and 11 hitters in the order, giving your pitcher, who happened to be my son, a little better opportunity to get those guys out. As it stood, the game ended on a sacrifice fly to right, made a nice catch in right, made a throw home. It was high and wasn't there in time. And then you're just like, man.
All right, let me step in here for a minute.
Please. Just
as someone who doesn't have kids, let me give you advice on being a parent. I just want to say this, and I'm sure you know this. You just have to keep checking in with your son and making sure the current arrangement is serving him and making him happy. Because I had parents that were maybe a little too, they didn't really care about sports, but they were very supportive. They would drive me everywhere, but they didn't really know much about anything. So I kind of had to make it for myself. But my sister and I both played Division I sports in college. So it worked out, right? They were like, we'll support you doing whatever, but we're also not going to talk to you about it because we don't know what's going on. My mom would just yell 3 seconds all the time. That was like her go-to because I was in the paint and she always thought it was 3 seconds on the other team. But I also know people whose parents are so invested and it helped them. They get them the side coaches and the private lessons and the whatever, and it really elevates their game. There's such a fine line between being the parent that makes your kids stop loving it and being the parent that helps them. And I know your kid knows that you know sports. That's your whole life. Just keep checking in and making sure the current arrangement is the right one, because that driving home and talking about it and putting yourself to sleep thinking about scenarios to win a 12U game is making me think that eventually this won't be the best situation.
Maybe I haven't presented it quite possibly.
No, I think it's pretty clear.
Well, we've got a good idea of what's going on over there with Camp Wiederer. They got going on over there.
There's two things I'll say. Every one of these games now is recorded on Game Changer, right? It's the crazy world of technology we live in now.
And so
when you go back through them, you can review your own reactions to things and be like, okay, I got to tone that down. You know, watch the film.
You're watching your body language?
Yeah, so Ben Johnson's got you watching
Ben
body
Johnson's
language,
got
too.
You watching film.
But at the same time, I will say this, that one of the reasons I'm so into it is because he's so into it. And baseball is his passion. He loves it. You would be shocked at the number of accessories he has, from the eye black to the arm sleeve to this and that, because it's built on the juice that he has for the game. He's got a really, really advanced understanding of the game that doesn't come from anything I've taught him. It's just kind of innate. And so I'm just along for the ride, trying to do whatever I can to help him maximize it. And that's the fun part for me, as it is with all the other 11 kids on the team too. Like I said, it's an incredible group of kids, a great group of families. And you just want them to be able to feel that high of success as often as possible, because man, there's nothing better than the opposite of that car ride home last night when you're coming home after a big win and being like, this is the stuff.
Sarah, do you think, are you feeling what I'm feeling right now, where we were his therapist today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I think that's okay. Yeah. I like Dan.
I also relate. Like, that's who I would be, which is why it would be a real problem for me. I'm so stinking competitive with my niece. My niece is actually Glenview. My niece lives in Glenview. She's went to the World Championships in Ninja Warrior. And she went to state for her age group, actually an age above what she is, in like 7 events. She's a little amazing superstar. And I'm glad I get to drop in and root for her and then leave, because I would be exactly like, exactly like Dan. Which is why I'm saying, as someone who can relate, just, you know.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you coming on and bearing your soul, and it's okay. You didn't do anything wrong.
$350.
Matt Nagy is not going to show up at the post game and ask you questions about what went wrong in your game, so you're good.
But stop lying down on the bench, okay?
I went to the podium last night, and there were no reporters there to ask me questions, so I had nobody to vent to, so I had to do it today. This was much better than talking about soft tissue injuries at OTA. So.
Yes,
thanks for doing that.
That's what we're here for. Dan Wiederer of the Tribune and the North podcast.
Yeah, man, that guy brings the juice.
That's right. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Weedsy. I was telling Speaks a story, because I had a similar thing, what you're talking about with your parents. My parents were pretty much the whatever you want to do, drop you off, we'll support you, we'll buy you all this stuff. I had to explain to my mom this weekend that there was a lot of cheating in baseball.
Oh, I heard you telling her that.
Yeah. And I don't think that she clearly understood that what I was saying was, your son used to cheat a lot at baseball. So now that I'm sure she's watching on Twitch, now you know that I used to have all that sunscreen, rosin, like it was on my catcher's mitt in case a pitcher needed it.
And you still never made it. All that cheating got you nowhere.
It got me close. It got me close. It didn't get me where I eventually wanted to go, but it got me close enough to the game. And now I'm here, which is what ends up happening. We need to take a break. When we come back, we stumbled upon something in our pre-show meeting. Sarah was like, hey, are you guys doing this? I feel like this is a thing. So it's a thing, and we're going to make it a thing. That's, you're damn right we are. That's next here on the screen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gore.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Craig Counsell.
When I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learned that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Could you expound on that?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
Afternoons on the Score.
Words are awesome. I love words.
Words are awesome, and apparently phrases are too. Our friend Sarah Spain is here sitting in for Matt Spiegel. Spiegs is off today. Cassie Carlson is in the bullpen. She is going to come and join me for the 5 o'clock hour, and we will talk Bears, and we'll get to know Cassie a little bit here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. All right, Spain, what the hell is going on with you?
Well, I've been listening to a little more of The Score the last couple of days. As you mentioned, I'm very busy. I have a daily show. My book's coming out. I've got all these other gigs. But I was like, oh, if I'm going to hang out with Lawrence, let me just double check what they've been talking about, get myself up to date so we're not, you know, repeating all the same stuff you've been chatting with everyone about. And I was listening to y'all talking about Matt Shaw being sent down and coming back up and having this resurgence and using the very specific and very perfect phrase, born again hard.
Private Pyle, you are definitely born again hard. Hell, I may even allow you to serve as a rifleman in my beloved corps.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's so perfect. First of all, because I'm always naughty, so my brain's like, phrasing. But then also, I just thought about how it is the best summation of like, getting another shot and coming back and looking so different and looking so ready, which was perfect for Matt Shaw. I haven't seen that movie.
I've never seen Full Metal Jacket.
No, I remember in junior high, this guy I had a crush on was always talking about it. So I was like, I got to see that movie. But then there was like a clip.
He was in junior high watching Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't work out between the two of you.
What are you trying to say, Laura? That's when I saw it, I think.
Yeah.
Were you obsessing about it and talking to girls that you like?
Probably. Well, ask my wife. You can ask my wife.
Yeah. But
guess what movie I saw?
Yeah, somebody like blows their own brains out, right? Is it that guy, the born again hard guy?
Spoiler alert.
Okay, so sorry. In case people haven't seen it in the, 40 years it's been around?
35 years, yeah.
Right. So I've never seen the movie, but I heard you guys talking about it, and I was like, that is perfect. And then y'all were playing the sound, which I obsessed with, of Ben Johnson taking a shot at TJ Edwards during the hallowed ceremony of the Piccolo Awards, right?
If you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bump play, I don't know if I would have gotten this job.
I just love it so much. There's something about both the cadence, the words, if you don't know that it's called the stumble bum and you don't understand the idea of taking the cheese, meaning like biting on it or like, you know, getting tricked by it, it sounds like a word salad. Taking the cheese on the stumble bum play sounds like a Mad Lib or a word salad.
So how can we interject that into everyday life?
If you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bum play.
I just like love it so much. And I want it to be a part of our daily vernacular. At the same time, I was considering something that Terry Bradshaw said about Aaron Rodgers that I just loved so much. He was talking about how it's a joke that the Steelers would be considering him. And he said, that guy needs to stay in California, go somewhere and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
Chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
And I usually don't like the septuagenarian who's you know, stereotyping all of California's bark chewers whispering to the gods. But I think that has to do with, you know, the ayahuasca getaways and the, you know, days without light that he's doing. And Aaron Rodgers used to be my favorite player, even as a Packer. And then the internet ate his brain, and he's real hard to root for and real hard to listen to and the worst. And the idea of telling someone to go chew on bark instead of touching grass, kicking rocks.
Go pound salt.
Go pound sand. Go pound salt. Go somewhere and chew on bark is a specific thing that I also want to enter into the everyday lexicon. So we need to do born again hard, chew on bark and whisper to the gods, and took the cheese on the stumble bum play.
Thank you.
Go somewhere and, chew on bark and, whisper to the gods out there.
If you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bum play.
Ivan Powell, you are definitely born again hard.
All of them.
Okay, so I think that we've already figured out how to use chew on bark, and I think that we should eliminate and listen to the gods. I think
we found
the category. It's the same as go
kick rocks.
Exactly.
Go chew on bark.
Go chew on bark. Like, that's a good comeback. Right. Like, for people on the text line or the Twitch mob, if they say something crazy, go chew on bark.
And maybe if it is at all related to getting off the grid, living in the forest, or like you're in a dreamland, then we can add and whisper to the gods out
Fair
there.
Fair enough. That works. The cheese one and stumble bum. Any suggestions on how, like,
no, I like using it as like, oh, this guy out here, he's trying to get me to take the cheese and the stumble bum out here, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, either someone's trying to fool me, or look at that moron over there. That guy would take the cheese on the stumble bum play.
That's pretty good. Alex?
That's the way to use it, right? Like, when someone gets tricked, they took the cheese on the stumble bum.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of like me with the don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, because I use that a lot.
Yep.
Some people don't even know that reference, and I hope they don't think that I made it up. I didn't. It's from Beverly Hills Cop, but you don't want to fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
The new version of that is don't take the cheese on the stumble bum.
Don't take the cheese on the stumble bum.
If you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bum play.
I love it so much.
It's a great.
I love it so much.
And the
much.
Fact that he was just, and like he did the Norman Fell, like, look to the camera when he said it to TJ. Poor TJ Evans is like, what I do?
And it sounded just effortless and extemporaneous. It did not sound scripted, which is also why I loved it. It sounded like his brain put that sentence together in the moment.
Okay, so now we got to figure out what to do with born again hard.
So I think there's a couple applications. The one that I just thought of is like you hit it too hard in Vegas the first night. You wake up and you remember you have two more days in Vegas and you're going to get after it again, but you're like, I'm born again hard. Like, I'm doing this again, but I'm coming at it from a little different angle now. The world has, you know what it is? It's like when I came on the air here with Layla the other day and I said, the Bears finally got to me. Every year I would always say, I don't know, about 10 wins this year. Like every, no matter what, I would always be like, oh, I think about 10 wins this year. And this year finally I was like, I don't know, can we break even? Can we just hit 500? I'm born again hard. The Bears crushed me down so bad that I'm back. I'm here. But I'm a different person.
Speaking of Vegas, watch this transition, Alex. Join the Score in Circa Sports Illinois tomorrow from 10 until 1:20 as Raheemy and Harris will be broadcasting live from the parking lot outside of Wrigleyville Dogs on Clark, followed by Double Z, Zach Zabin's pregame show up until first pitch. Fund the Circa Sports Illinois app to be eligible for some limited edition swag and promotions, plus food will be provided by Wrigleyville Dogs. So stop by tomorrow, starting at 10. It's all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Download the Circa Sports app today. By the way, Circa's got a great deal going on. If you actually do want to go out to Vegas, CircaLasVegas.com. If you're okay with the crazy heat and going to stadium swim in the summertime, they got a great deal. So you should definitely check that out. Okay, what's the other application of born again hard?
Well, it's the one we just talked about, where it's like you fail, you go learn for a while, you come back.
Oh, but
like
you mean
the Matt Shaw
in a different context.
No, I mean it.
Oh, okay.
Are you being weird right now?
Well, I
was weird earlier, and then I felt uncomfortable about whether anyone else was weird, and so I let it die. But well, now you are resurfacing the weird.
Yeah, because I'm kind of
resurrecting, if you will. Bringing it back up.
so to speak.
If you will.
Being born again heart.
Yeah. Yep.
So to speak.
That's what this conversation is.
Why? I mean, there's another application that we could use, but I feel like it would really offend a certain population. So I won't bring that up.
Hit that beat button.
Yes, Olin. Sometimes we do. Not today, though. I think Sarah's really good at walking the line. We've needed a little bit of that.
Habitual line stepper.
That's you. That's,
I always know where the line is. Sometimes I just cross it a little bit.
A toe.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, which is good.
And someone on the text thread, what do you guys call it here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure?
The text
line.
Okay,
great. Yeah. Said in Hawaii, it was go cook rice, which I also like.
Ooh, go cook rice.
Go cook rice.
We have to ask Olin if that's accurate. He's our Hawaii expert. Yeah. So we will ask him that the next time that he's on. But that's good. We add that to our vernacular. I'm appreciative that you have brought this to us.
I expect to hear it now. I want you to tell someone to go chew on bark.
I plan on doing that.
I want you to tell someone who like takes a 2-week vacation from work and comes back and ask them if they're born again hard.
Because go pound salt is like my go-to.
I've only heard go pound sand.
Both are...
Right, that's weird, right, sir? I never heard
who's
that either.
Pounding salt and why?
There's lots of reasons to pound salt, but both are accurate. Like, you can use both.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Sure. And then kick rocks.
What would be the point of pounding either of those? Just for you to go waste your time.
Fair.
So go pound salt.
Pound salt, kick rocks, touch grass, eat bark.
Eat bark.
Cook rice.
Studs bringing up a great point back here, per usual. If you pound salt, you're only going to make it, like, finer.
Yeah.
So there's no resistance there, like with sand.
Yeah, that's true. But it's still that.
Go grind salt.
Go grind. What grinds my gears?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do. I would really like. I would. Someone said, just say go F yourself. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes we want to do it with a little spin.
Right. And sometimes you can't say that to, you know, like listeners of your radio station. So you say other things instead.
Born again hard will be every White Sox fan once they ever get better again. First of all, that's not guaranteed.
Neither is the rate.
Oh, the G spot.
Oh, see, now you're making it weird again.
I mean, everybody made that joke when they named it that, right? Or just
yes.
Me? And then no one can find it. The stadium, because no one wants to go to the games.
When you have time, will you please come back and be on the show? This is awesome. We need to take a break. And when we come back, Sarah's got something really cool going on with the book that she wrote, and we want everyone to go get it, and we're going to talk a little bit about that before we let her go. Cassie Carlson is going to be here. I'm sure she's blushing somewhere right now, but she's going to come and hang out in the 5 o'clock hour. Stick around. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Sarah Spain sitting in for Speaks here on The Score.
If you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bump play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Beagle and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
When it comes to the timing of the book.
Book?
With the book.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Reading
yeah.
is good.
Game.
We are very thankful here that Sarah Spain had the time and the inclination to come and hang out with us here on The Score. So if I'm right, this is your first show at The Score that you're hosting, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
I know. It's pretty wild to think about, although I never really bought into the station wars, although I understand that they exist.
Yeah, because I'm friends with guys over there. And
yeah. I remember every once in a while I'd meet someone from here and just try to get a read on, like, are they just going to be mean to me for no reason because of some made up, like, Anchorman style, like, Brick killed a guy thing? Or are we cool? And it totally depended on the person.
And there's truth to that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. You are an author.
I am.
The book is coming out on Tuesday. Runs in the Family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. I know that we talked a little bit about this on House of L, but for the Score listener that's like, Sarah's dope, I want to read her book. Why should they get this book?
Well, first of all, it's not about me, which a lot of people hear when you say you have a book, especially if you're a media person. It's like your story or your life. It's not that. So it's an expansion of a story I did a couple years ago for ESPN. We did an E60 feature and a written piece, and it really, truly went viral in the truest sense of the word. It blew up, and we got approached for both books and movies. And at the time, I had 11 jobs at ESPN. And the offer wasn't quite right. We thought we'd do the movie first and then use the movie and the stars of the movie to be on the cover of the book and everything. And instead, we were pitching the movie during COVID. So didn't know if movie theaters were coming back, didn't know. Then it was the writer's strike. So just bad timing for that. So when the woman who most wanted the book originally came back around a couple years ago and had left for Simon & Schuster, had a bigger advance, had a better publisher, I knew it was time. And it's the story of Dylan McCullough, who is currently the Raiders running backs coach. He just joined there in the offseason. He had most recently been with Notre Dame, helping them to a national title, and previous to that, helped the Kansas City Chiefs to a Super Bowl, coached at USC, Indiana, Miami of Ohio. This was a guy who grew up in Youngstown post-industrial collapse, had a really rough childhood. His adoptive dad left when he's 2 years old, so he's sort of doubly rejected by father figures. Ends up in a single mother home, not a lot of money, sometimes missing heat and electricity, some unsavory dudes that his mom marries or dates that are drug addicts or abusive. So he really grows up without really great male mentorship. Finds football. It becomes a release for him out of this tough household, out of these scary moments at home. He gets to just go out and run and be himself, and finds that he's really good around his senior year. Starts getting recruited, gets recruited by the likes of Bob Stoops and Jim Tressel as they're making their way up. And this guy, Sherman Smith, who had played at Miami of Ohio, had gone on to the NFL, came back as a coach for Miami and wanted him to come to his alma mater. He goes there, breaks all the records, tries to go to the NFL, has a terrible knee injury with the Bengals, bounces around XFL, CFL, tries to make it work, but the injuries prevent him. Gets into education, gets into coaching. Fast forward to his 40s, he's got four kids, has never known anything about his background, kind of grew up in Youngstown thinking there's enough problems here. I'm not going to navel gaze about who my parents are and my identity. We're trying to like get food on the table and borrow electricity through the window from our neighbors via an extension cord. I don't really need to be asking questions about where did I come from. But as he gets older, he more wants to know about it for his kids, his medical history, and everything else he might be passing on. And the laws change in Ohio and Pennsylvania, where he was raised and where he was born. And he's able to find his birth certificate in his early 40s, finds his mom within a day and a half on Facebook. She was a high school honor student, had an oopsie, and back in the 70s, they would send you away, a lot of them, to go have the baby in private. No one would see her pregnant. No one would know she had a kid. She'd go back to school. No one's the wiser. So she didn't tell anyone. She didn't tell any friends. She didn't tell any classmates. She didn't even tell the dad because he had left for college by the time she realized she was pregnant. So she goes and has the baby in private, gives it up, and never hears from him again until 45 years later. She never got married, never had kids. She'd been looking for him for years, wanting to figure out who he became. And when he asks, you know, mom, I don't see a father on the birth certificate. Do you know who my dad is? She says he's a man by the name of Sherman Smith. It was his college football coach, his mentor of basically 20 plus years. He had done a coaching internship with him with the Seahawks. He had stayed in touch with him all the years after Miami of Ohio. He only coached him for one semester at Miami before he left for a job at Illinois. But they had such a bond that he basically became him. Went to Miami, went to the NFL, got a knee injury, became a coach, won a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl, both of them to Tom Brady, and now is working under Pete Carroll, who's the coach that his birth dad used to work under with the Seahawks. And so it's the story of that incredible discovery. And if you're listening and you're like, oh my God, that's the whole book, that's the twist.
It's not the whole
book.
There
is so much in there about nature versus nurture, what we get through blood and DNA versus what we get through family systems and emotions and language and messaging, how he chose to end cycles of generational trauma, how he chose to parent differently, and then what happens when he finds out that this man is his dad. How does his birth family greet him? How does his adoptive family see this? And how are they trying to make it all work? So it's just it's truly an insane story. And the movie part,
is someone in the Twitch mob is like, this needs to be a movie. Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah.
It's going to be.
So when it went viral the first time, we got a handful of offers from a bunch of people. Reese Witherspoon at first was in on it, but her movies are all pretty much about women at the center. I'm forgetting the guy's name, but the guy from Modern Family, who's a huge Chiefs fan, has a production company, and he was in on it too. Handful of people. Eric Stone Street.
What a
That's
pull.
Right. Nice job. Well done. So a handful of folks, but we ended up going with Macro, who have done a bunch of really high-level movies, Mudbound, Fences, Sorry to Bother You. And when Russ Wilson and Sierra's company didn't get the nod for it, they said they still wanted to be involved. So they're coming on as executive producers. And Russ created a video that we've used for the pitches when we were pitching during COVID on Zoom. And I assume we'll be more involved now, hopefully, with actual meetings now that we can meet people in person. But yeah, we're going to start up those meetings again now that the book is going to be out on Tuesday. And hopefully you'll read it. There's also an audiobook, which, by the way, Lawrence, I've never felt cooler than sitting in a studio and doing the audiobook for the book I wrote. I was like, there's something I never would have imagined doing, which is cool.
I think it's dope. Runs in the Family is the name of the book. I threw a link for it into the Twitch chat if people wanted to pre-order it. It comes out on Tuesday. Please support Sarah in this, and we all get to be a part of it. It's an incredible story, and seeing you succeed like this and do something that is clearly meaningful to you is awesome.
Thank you.
And then seeing the way that it's being received and now being platformed in a bunch of different ways is dope. So if you're someone who enjoyed this show and was like, man, Sarah's cool as hell, support her by buying her book. Pre-order it, check it out, go to your favorite bookstore and say, hey, I want this book, can you order it for me? It would be extremely helpful. So
thank you.
This was dope. Thank you for
so fun.
Yeah. And again, you being able to fit us into the tight window of the book tour and your podcast.
Good Game with Sarah Spain. Subscribe, rate, review, tell us you love us, follow us, listen.
Give it 5 stars. And the fact that your anniversary is tonight.
Yes. Thank you for having me. This was a fun way to spend my day. Everything everyone said about the score and you being a tyrant is totally wrong. Is that what you want me to say? Wait, is that what you want me to say?
Sorry. All right, so
write it down again.
You're not a tyrant.
You are a great person to work with.
And you should not go chew on bark.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't go chew on bark. Sarah Spain, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I really, really, really appreciate it.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Cassie Carlson is going to be in the house. She's going to help me land this plane. That's next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.